American State Trials, 1918, Volume X. Leo Frank. Document page 161. Here is the translated text as follows. Edward D. Worrell, 1899. It would convert the whole of New England into a lunatic asylum. I observe sitting on my left my old and much esteemed friend, Major Robertson, with whom you are all well acquainted. How long do you suppose the Major could travel on a steamboat or in the cars without having something to say to at least 3/5 of the passengers? I am not certain, but it would seriously disturb the equilibrium of the Major's mind if he were not permitted to indulge in this social trait. Men in this particular are differently constituted. Some are by nature extremely sociable, while others are reserved and difficult to approach. We are not here discussing the propriety or impropriety of speaking to a stranger without the formality of an introduction. That depends altogether upon our own notions of right and wrong, and upon the particular school in which we have been educated. It certainly would not bear the criticism of Lord Chesterfield, but in this Western country, where every man feels himself the peer of his fellow man, Lord Chesterfield is no better authority than any other person. Each man establishes a code of etiquette for himself, and in this respect is his own lawmaker. We are further asked why he did not sell the watch and dispose of the saddlebags, why he kept such evidences of guilt in his possession. It is a difficult matter to determine what is the best policy in such a case. Sometimes the very fact of selling stolen property leads to the detection of the thief. If the purchaser is an honest man and discovers the property advertised, he delivers it up to the owner, and frequently becomes very active in procuring the arrest and punishment of the offender. In this case, the sale of the sorrel horse to Mr. Gould contributed no little to the discovery of the murderer. In either case, there is a risk to run. Major Wright is anxious to know why he did not leave Dover when he knew they were in pursuit of him. It is true that on his way from Smyrna to St. Louis, he told cousins that he knew it, but there is no evidence of the fact given in the case. On the contrary, the evidence is that McGee did not go into the town until after the arrest and did not see him until the train passed Smyrna, and the prisoner was not,